He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt Entz. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Thursday afternoon. Happy Thursday to everyone who is listening, however you're listening, wherever you're listening here on 1430 ESPN. Following, yes, another Giants loss to the San Diego Padres, a 8-4 drubbing, I would say. I wouldn't count it as closer than the four-run deficit would assume in terms of what this team was able to do. But 8-4 the final. You're now here in the post of that game show, and here we are now onto my program, and good to be here for at least the next 90 minutes or so. Yeah, that's right. We got an hour and a half here hanging out at Fashion Furniture Live, as we always are on this Thursday afternoons. And good to be here. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. I see you guys over there on the camera. Be sure to like, subscribe, put on those alerts, all those great stuff. If you want to watch the video broadcast side of things, look at our great, wonderful set that we're here for. And good to be here, as always, with Fashion Furniture. Just another reminder, of course, it is their 65th anniversary celebration here at Fashion Furniture. So this is the places where you'll find the best names like Flexsteel, Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster. The list goes on and on and on. And the savings up to 40% on select items is 0% financing. Plus, with every sale, Fashion Furniture is going to take a portion of that sale and make a donation to the Honor Flight. That's right. Help send our veterans to Washington, D.C., and also help them celebrate 65 years. Special gifts to couples marrying 25, 35, 45, 55, and including even special gifts who have been married just as long as Fashion Furniture has been around. 65 years of marriage. We'll help you celebrate it here. They've got a bunch of people who are already coming through with those anniversaries, but more gifts to come. Only at Fashion Furniture, nothing like it in all of California. As we are here, it is around 4:35 here on, just about to be 4:35. We have the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our program. Lee's Air also sponsors the weather check. And yes, I am going to check the weather. I will deliver the bad news, folks. It is 104 right now. We've got an excessive heat warning all the way through. It looks like up until the conditions expected by 11 a.m. tomorrow. So we're not even in that extreme heat. I will say I saw 108 yesterday or before tomorrow, 108. It is down a little bit. We're down to 106 potential tomorrow now. So maybe there is a little bit of reprieve, whatever you feel is maybe helps you get through the mental side of things. If 108 versus 106, it's just going to be hot, folks. It's going to be very warm for the first night of Friday Night Lights. And so I hope you guys can stay cool out there, able to stay hydrated. That's very key. Be sure to take the precautions tomorrow when you go out, watch football, all that great stuff. Be ready for the warmth tomorrow, but might be the hottest night. And then we are maybe potentially on the downturn of summer here, folks. It is, wrapping up August here at about 9-10 days or so. So this could be the last one. This could be the last heat wave moving forward. I did see some maybe good news for potentially the home opener for Fresno State. Maybe mid-90s, which is, I'm telling you, child's play compared to what we've been having beforehand. So there you go. That's your weather check right now. We are live, like I said, here at Fashion Furniture. Big thanks to Me and Ed's Pizza for providing the pizza here today. Pizza's been phenomenal, as always. Me and Ed's delivers on that promise, and we're happy to have the pizza here. For the folks who are coming along and folks who are here enjoying themselves, shopping while they're getting out of the heat, nice and cool in here in the Fashion Furniture lobby. So be sure to get an opportunity to check out what they have to offer in terms of all that great stuff. What we have to offer for our show today, we got a lot to get into in this hour and a half, a lot to talk about. We did a lot of Fresno State talk yesterday, so I'm going to save that maybe for one final thought tomorrow. But we're going to get into some house cleaning stuff here this half hour, and then we're going to go full high school this final hour, the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock hour, some full high school coverage in terms of that, including some great guests. We locked in Bullard High School football is going to be coming in later today. Around 5:15 or so, we're going to have Bullard High School in here. So we'll have a conversation with the Knights about what their season's going to look like coming up. So we'll have that interview. That's, like I said, we got all these headsets out here. So if you see on the video portion side of things, you know why. So we're excited to be talking to Coach Franklin and a couple of his players who will be coming in and talking about their potential season. So that's what we got on the docket for today. Like I said, we'll have a 5 at 5, all that great stuff, taking up to 6 o'clock, getting you out in a timely manner for the rest of your evening. And then tomorrow, one more sleep, folks. High school football here, two more sleeps. Fresno State football here, folks. It is here, it has arrived, and I hope you're ready for it. I know he's ready for this show. Good to have him on always as we have him produce. And it's Jorge who's on the other line for me today for our show going up to 6 o'clock. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday?
Hey, Phil, it's going good. It's going good. I think, you know, besides the baseball thing, I feel like, you know, my Thursday was going well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's part of the being a fan. You know, it happens. Yeah.
Where are your expectations nowadays with the Giants, right, Jorge? You don't let them. You're at a point where you don't let them affect their mood anymore. You just kind of like, there's no volatility to the mood of your day now that dependent on the Giants. You have crossed that bridge of saying, what happens happens now this season. I don't really give a you know what to anything. I don't live and die by the games anymore.
Well, the thing
right?
is that it literally was one inning where they just destroyed it themselves, and then it just that was it. That was it. Yep. They played well the rest of the game, but it was too late then. So, you know.
Yeah, you heard Kipe on the call on the TV side. He is like he was so perplexed on that single play. Jorge, two batters, two bunts, two runs, no outs, just something you just don't see in baseball. in two bunts back-to-back, two runs score, and nobody gets out. When the Padres were giving you an out, the Giants could not find a different way to play baseball worse than that in terms of it. So it's one bad inning, another tough luck thing for Justin Verlander. Manny Machado broke it open, and then from there it just kind of felt like that was the end for the Giants in today's game. And 3-10 against the Padres. Jorge, does that make you mad? I know I feel like we don't have a really good rapport with Padre fans. I feel like Padre fans are starting to grate on me a little bit. I don't know if they're grating on you a little bit, Jorge, but I feel like 3-10 against the Padres just is grinding your gears.
Yeah, I don't like to think about it like that. I just like to think about that, you know, they're out there and, you know, we're doing our thing. Yeah, we don't mind numbers right now. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll let those numbers, you know, not speak for themselves, and we'll bury them and say goodbye. Padres no more for the season for the Giants. That is the first division opponent that they will not play for the rest of the year. So good riddance. Good riddance to that. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some Benatti Best. I got a power rankings to reveal here for the NFL, as I've been trying to do on the daily. So we'll do that. We'll close out the hour here and then have a full hour of Behind the Bench here coming up next on 1430 ESPN. Right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Apologies to our stream audience. We didn't have the sound up. That's rookie mistake by me. But we're here now, and yeah, you can hear us. And by the way, you really didn't miss much. We said a few things about the Giants, which I don't think you have much to say about this San Francisco Giants team. So that's where we're at. But I do want to just let the people know who are on the stream. Another reminder, we're here at Fashion Furniture, part of their 65th anniversary celebration, where you'll find the best names like Flexsteel, Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more. Savings of up to 40%, including 0% financing. Plus, with every sale, Fashion Furniture will make a donation to the Honor Flight. So help them send a veteran to Washington and help celebrate their 65-year anniversary. Like I said, special gifts to couples, married couples, for the 25 through 65-year anniversary. We'll give you some special gifts there if you come and shop at Fashion Furniture. Only at Fashion Furniture, nothing like it here in California. All right, let's do a little Benatti's Best. Jorge, you ready to react to some power rankings? I know you weren't on yesterday's show. I don't know if you even knew who I put at 24 through 21. You heard the bottom eight. Do you want a quick recap of where we're at right now?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, so we had the Saints, obviously, then the Browns, then the Titans, the Colts, the Giants, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Panthers. Yesterday I revealed we had the Jets, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, and the Jaguars. So that's where we are. Tampier was very low on the Dolphins yesterday. He thought I had him too high at 22, and I almost think I do too. Any objections there? I know you probably think the Jets should probably be a little lower, right?
Yeah, definitely. The Jets in my book are low. I mentioned them last 2 days ago.
Yeah. You were waiting for them. You were waiting for the Jets. Well, there you go. The Jets at 24. So we're going to go 20 through 17, and we'll do a little quick hitting because I know we got to hit the end of this segment here. And so let's go to number 20. And number 20 I have, and by the way, Jorge, you're going to react too low, too high, just right. I have the Chicago Bears at number 20 here. I've tempered expectations for this team. New coach, potential upside with all the scheme fixings and scheme differentials with this team. It really just feels like it's a reliance on Caleb Williams and his development and if he's going to be taking the leap next season. I think he can be absolutely a potential stud in this league. It just needs to be setting up for a good play throughout his career. This feels like, I don't want to say make or break because year one to year two shouldn't be that, but I think you need to see at least an uptick in potential, especially with what they have in the weapons department. I believe in what they have on the offense and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. Cole Kmet is a solid tight end per se in that. I do worry a little bit as DeAndre Swift as the feature back per se for the Chicago Bears, but there is potential here. I do like the addition of Jonah Jackson there on the line in terms of that from the Rams side. They got a good linebacker potential in Tremaine Edwards who's in there. I like Jalen Johnson, obviously, is our guy from the Central Valley who's there out at one of the corner sides of things. Kevin Byard, a certain potential flavor. So there's a lot to like about the Bears, but a lot not proven with the Bears, and that's why I'm hedging it, especially when they're in a tough division like the NFC North. I think the Chicago Bears right at 20 is where I sit. How do you feel?
I feel like they're a little bit too high. Too high.
Too high, okay.
Yeah, I feel like that maybe just a tad bit, because in my book I would have them at 21, but quite frankly I think that if you don't have a quarterback, you know, you're not really doing well as a team. And we don't know what Caleb's gonna bring, you know. So it's difficult. It's difficult to range or to predict the Bears exactly with that quarterback. But if he fails, then this whole team fails. So that's why I have him lower.
Okay. Okay. I'm curious who you would have above them that's below that I have below, but maybe you have some teams I haven't named yet that are a little bit below it. But let's go to 19, and my number 19 team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who I mean, made a lot of splashes this offseason, but is it really incremental improvements on this team? I wonder. Obviously, with the addition of Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers, his capabilities at where age he is in terms of the quarterback position, but they're really going to rely on Robert Woods and Calvin Austin potentially to be the next couple of guys after trading away, George Pickens. DK Metcalf, a legit guy. But I just am curious if the juice was worth the squeeze in terms of adding him. versus what they gave away. TJ Watt, legit defensive player. Always, I think, a top threat in terms of that for me, of what his pass rush ability can be. Cam Hayward's still doing it at the age he's doing it. I like the addition of Patrick Queen as a linebacker as well. And I think Highsmith's a decent guy in the defense. I think the defense is pretty legit. Adding Darius Slay is a pretty sneaky side, I think, as well. Jalen Ramsey coming in there. I think he'll still has maybe a year or two left in terms of his capabilities in the NFL. So it's really more what the offense can do versus what the defense can do. I just worry about the reliance on some very big question marks. I have Pittsburgh here at 19.
Ah, that's a good one, but I feel like it's a little bit, kind of low in my opinion.
Too low.
I feel like the Pittsburgh a little bit better than some other teams that I have on here. But I feel like their coaching, it's probably going to be, you know, the thing that's more under pressure, especially this season, since, you know, they haven't really done much. And Tomlin has been there for a long time. Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl, but it hasn't been in this decade. So,
it's been a while.
It's been a while. So, and some decisions he's made about the quarterback has been, controversial. So we'll see. We'll see. I feel like it's a little bit, what I said, too high, right? No, too low? Too low.
Too low.
Too low.
Think Steelers should be a little higher.
Yeah, they should be a little higher.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. Next up on 18, I have the Atlanta Falcons. Just really the million-dollar question is, what is the quarterback position going to look like with Michael Penix now fully into the starting role going into a season like this? Is he a guy who can carry this team to a above 500 kind of season? The running game is set up with Bijan Robinson, who I think took a step above. Tyler Allgeier, a nice change of pace when adding with it. But Bijan, Drake London, a pretty decent option at wide receiver. I think maybe one of the more underrated wide receiver ones out there. I do like the combination between them and Darnell Mooney. Pitts is – everyone's going to feel a certain way about Kyle Pitts and how his potential sits. I do like their secondary as well, with some Jesse Bates in there, as well as maybe a couple of their corners as well. But I think the Falcons have some decent upside in terms of what they can look like. If the division breaks a certain way, they could be winning it. So give me Atlanta here at number 18 overall.
Yeah, I think that's just right. I think they have some problems, but they're not as bad as other teams. And quite frankly, Kyle Pitts is probably their biggest weapon that might not work out. I don't know. It's they having quarterback problems at the same time, but they have a backup in Kirk Cousins that's, you know, good enough to start in other teams, but for whatever reason, just can't get it together in with the Falcons. I don't know. It just feels like it's a team that's, you know, I mean, it feels like they're ready, but at the same time, they don't look ready. I don't know if I make myself clear there.
It's a little underbaked right now. Underbaked.
Yeah, something like that.
Team is considered. All right. This one's going to be controversial because I only got about a minute and a half left. This one's going to be controversial. My number 17 team overall, I have the Cincinnati Bengals here, and I know the Cincinnati Bengals have been all flash. They were one of the dangerous teams last year in terms of what they looked like, but from one unit to another, I cannot trust this team to be a full, complete football team until I see something different on the defensive side of the ball. The offense can do what it can do, but this team is as historically bad on defense as I've ever seen. I don't know if I've seen any improvements on it other than maybe addressed in the drafting of some of their guys in there, Shamar Stewart being one of them. But other than that, this team's going to struggle to stop people. They're in a tight division, really tough division, and I think I'm tired of falling for him. I'm tired of falling for the hype. I think Cincinnati can sit right here at 17, in my opinion.
Oh, you have him way too low. Way too low. I don't think Cincy's going to be...
Tired of him.
You know who I think should be in that position instead? The Cowboys. Oh. I think the Cowboys should be in that position. I think they really, they're the same thing they were last year. They haven't really added anything good.
George Pickens?
I mean, How much difference is he going to make, you know?
I'm a believer. I'm subscribed to it.
Sorry
to derail you. I'll promise you this. We're going to get to the Cowboys tomorrow in my power ranking.
All right.
How about that? That's a little. We'll get to the Cowboys tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. So, but the Bengals at 17 is where I sit. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. We're going to wrap up the hour here. We're going to come back for a full hour of Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Stay with us. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going
to
lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt Entz. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here live on this Thursday from Fashion Furniture for the next hour here before we say goodbye at 6 o'clock today. Good to have you alongside. Good to have you here. Good to be here. We got the live stream going on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch on our ESPN platforms, ESPN Fresno platforms, to say the least. Of course, we're live here at Fashion Furniture. You see the wonderful signage that's up here above me that tells you that and indicates it to you. It is the 65th anniversary here at Fashion Furniture, and they're making a celebration of it where you'll find places and names like Flex Steel, like Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns and Foster, and so much more. Savings up to 40% on select items with 0% financing here available for you. Plus, with every sale, Fashion Furniture will make a donation to the Honor Flight. That's right. Help them send the veterans to Washington, D.C., and help them celebrate 65 years, including if you're celebrating 25, 35, 45, 55, and even 65 years of marriage, they will have you a special gift for one of your purchases there. Of course, only at Fashion Furniture, nothing like it in California. Like I said, we're here for the next hour. And excited to be here talking all things sports. We're going to get into the high school level here pretty soon. But another reminder, we got our Me and Ed's Pizza here to my right, as you can see, although I'm pointing on the screen to the left, so a little confusing over there. We got pizza for the folks who are coming here, hanging out, watching the show, being on the show as well. We got fantastic stuff to get into. First of all, of course, Coach Franklin and Bullard High going to be coming on here in a little bit from now, maybe about 10, 15 minutes or so from now. So we'll be having them on. And, of course, we're going to be talking about all the high school games coming up. Jorge, we got a 5-5 to get to here momentarily, where I'm going to be doing the top five games this week in high school football. But, of course, I'd be remiss to not say we do have some games tonight in action in the high school level. So why don't I give a little scoreboard check to the folks who are going to be playing tonight. Maybe it's beneficial to play today as opposed to tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. Whatever the difference is, it's 104. It doesn't matter to anybody. Five games on the Central Section docket tonight. You got Avenel coming to McLean tonight. McLean getting an action, of course, coming off of one of their best seasons in quite some time. Coach Pancotti's got that team rolling. They'll look to build off that momentum. Avenel coming into town, taking on McLean at McLean High. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff. You got Fresno High going out to Reedley tonight at a 7 p.m. kickoff, so they'll get going there. You got Ridgeview taking on South in a Bakersfield battle. You got Sanger West at Mission Oak tonight down in Tulare. So Sanger West taking the trip down there. And, of course, Delano at home against Miramonte. So that's what you got on the docket for today in terms of high school football. We'll give you those scores probably tomorrow during my show from 3 to 5 before we send it off to high school Friday Night Lights coming up tomorrow. Another reminder, of course, we got that going on tomorrow. We got the broadcast of Central East taking on Englewood High. Right now, still, according to what I know, 7 p.m. kickoff is still a go right now for that game. So that'd be a 6:30 pregame for that broadcast. So if that changes, we'll let you know. But it seems like all things go 7 p.m. at Collegiate Stadium. So that's when you want to tune in, 6:30 for a pregame, 7 p.m. Myself, Paul Metters, on the call for another edition of Friday Night Lights. Another reminder, we got some other things going on as well. Of course, we got the Grocery Outlet promotion. Go shop at Grocery Outlet at select locations, including Sanger, Kerman. You've got Northwest, Southeast, and Downtown Fresno locations as well, all participating in our Tailgate Ready contest. If you want to score an opportunity to make your tailgate a little more supercharged for Fresno State games and whatever games you want to get into, you want to get involved in this contest. We're giving away six opportunities for you to win a couple home game tickets for Fresno State football and also $100 towards your tailgate courtesy of our friends at Grocery Outlet. That's right. You get a chance to win $100 towards your tailgate. That would be a nice chunk into what you can provide in terms of the low cost grocery shopping you can go into with Grocery Outlet in terms of your tailgate. So get involved in that contest today. Go to your local Grocery Outlet locations, like I said, Southeast, Downtown, Northwest Fresno, and also Sanger and Kerman. So that's what we got for you there. Jorge, let's get into this 5 of 5 real quick, and then we'll get rolling with the rest of the hour. Are you ready for another 5 of 5 here?
It's time now for Phil's 5 at 5.
That's right, 5 at 5 here, as we always do, the top 5 list of the day. And we got the top 5 games of week 1 in high school football that I'm excited for and can't wait to see here. And so we start with, of course,
Jorge. Number 5.
There it is. Thank you. You're right on target for that. Of course, we've got...
My bad.
hey, no. I'll take it. I'll take that punctuality there in terms of it. Number 5, I've got Bakersfield hosting Buchanan. Buchanan had a pretty decent win last year in their opening matchup last year when they were at home. Of course, that was a Thursday night game. I remember it. A lot of people looking at their eyes at Buchanan. Buchanan currently on the Max Preps ranked 9th overall in the state, but I know the track is going to be very tough, especially with what they could be going up against. But Buchanan could be a sneaky, interesting team. They always provide some good talent. Just look at freshman Braden Walton, who's now starting for Fresno State at left tackle. So they put out some guys from that Buchanan program. So curious what the Bears will look like on the football field. Bakersfield, a decent team. I know we're going to see them here in about 4 weeks or so against the Knights, who we're going to be talking to. But this is a good game to start with, number 5, Bakersfield and Buchanan, a ranked matchup that is going to be really good in the central section. Jorge, I don't know if you want to chime in here. If you want me to just kind of cook for the next 5 minutes, it's up to you.
I know a little bit about it, but I'd rather you cook for a minute.
All right, we'll cook. Let's get to the next one.
Number 4.
I got Clovis North and San Joaquin Memorial here. Clovis North hosting San Joaquin Memorial. I'm curious what Clovis North will look like. A lot of the changes to this team, but it could be a different kind of vibe for this group in terms of the way they attack on the football field. I'm curious what that'll look like. So under a first-year head coach, San Joaquin Memorial is a program that, of course, has a good history with what they can provide on the football field. They got some players, including some really decent alum into that side of things as well. But a good ranked matchup between really good base programs there in terms of that. But two teams, and I would say, that are in kind of that transitional period going into this new year. So could be a good ranking potential game in terms of that, where it can go long term in terms of playoff possibilities. So I'm curious what Clovis North versus San Joaquin Memorial will look like. It was a close game last year. Memorial really kind of kept it tight with them last year, even with how good Clovis North was. But it'll be interesting to see how this game will go this week. So that's what I got at number 4.
Number 3.
Number 3, I got CVC hosting Clovis. I think this is a good first test for the Clovis Cougars, who are a team that is going to contend in this track. Clovis is going to be very fascinating to watch. It's just a wonder if they can bring their stuff on the road, go into a hostile environment. CVC is going to be an interesting team to watch this year as far as that's concerned. So very curious to see who is going to blink first in this one. I know CVC is up and coming, got a lot of good things going for them, and they seem like a team that could be poised to be contending for a Central Section title with their coach, Coach Arax, who's now in his second year there. I know what the pedigree is with him. And I think this is going to be a really interesting, fun matchup to watch and could go also a long way in terms of the rankings in every sense of the word. So very excited for a first week matchup between these two.
Number two.
I got talking about the guys who are going to be joining you here, Bullard, going up against Clovis East, and I think this is going to be a very exciting game, my number two spot. I think this is going to be a really good matchup. I know Bullard is excited to showcase what they've got coming back, a lot of good returners coming back to this team. Clovis East is a team who is transitioning a lot of different new faces. There are a couple guys who are back, though, that are going to be primetime players, including Lindsey Graves and O'Shea Webb in that sense. And so curious to see what those guys will look into, including the new quarterback who Clovis East has with Jamie Spurgeon, who I believe has been anointed into that starting role, and what Bullard's going to do in terms of adjusting to how Clovis East now looks with a new coach, potential, I don't know if it's a new scheme or what they're going to kind of roll out there in terms of that concern, but I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I believe at La Monica. I think it should be at La Monica, and it's going to be an exciting one over there at their ballpark. So Clovis East Bullard week one, that could go a long way in terms of what these two teams will look like for the season.
Number one.
Of course, I can't not plug our game, which is going to be Central East against Inglewood. Central, of course, the Bengals, who are the defending champs, a team that's got a lot of talent returning, a team that is exciting to see what they can be capable of, a curiosity of where now their target is going to be so much bigger, because I think a lot of people felt like it got stuck up. There was a lot of people that felt like the Bengals or whoever they were last year, the Bears, all of it, snuck up on everybody and went on and took a Central Section championship. So I'm curious to see, now that everybody knows they're kind of the big dog in terms of what the Central Section will look like, and it could run through them if they play well, I'm curious what this will look like moving forward. But, of course, against the Southern Section team, and proving that to everybody, that the Central Section has talent as well and can beat a Southern Section team, I'm excited to see what this matchup will look like. I think it'll come down to the wire, and I'm very excited to see what this game will look like tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Like I said, on ESPN Fresno. So there you go.
That was Phil's 5 at 5.
All right, there you go. Feels pretty good. There's a lot of good games, too, and I could give some honorable mentions in terms of that. Clovis West at Edison of Huntington Beach. We saw them last year in week one, and very curious to see if we'll get a similar result, per se, in that one. I like the idea of Redwood going down to Centennial and seeing what that Redwood team will look like. I know they lost some guy in the transfer portal, but we'll see what it looks like. Madera, Sunnyside, two completely revamped different teams with all of their graduations. We'll see what Madera and Sunnyside look. I see a lot of points usually between those two teams in that one. That'll be in Sunnyside. Danuba Sanger, I think Sager's streaming that game. Curious to see what the Apaches will look like this year. How about some Hanford Bullpups action? I like them against Kennedy, and curious to see how they will evolve into this season. I know they lost a few guys, but I think Hanford is going to be an interesting team to watch as well. And, of course, I can't be remiss without talking about Jorge's Tranquility Tigers. Jorge, they go against Riverdale tomorrow night. So little shout-out to Jorge's Tranquility. How do you feel about your Tigers' chances tomorrow night against Riverdale?
I don't know. It's weird because each year they have, you know, several players who, you know, come in and out. And it's a small school, so there's always, you know, players that are good and but are, you know, just, you know, like, it's a little bit different when it comes to small school. But they should do good. I mean, I believe that they have a pretty good season ahead of themselves. So as long as they have fun, it's all good.
As long as they have, hey, that's a good way to look about it. How about Corcoran coming up to take on Roosevelt? I think that's going to be an interesting one. Kerman coming up against Torres tomorrow night as well. So a lot of different games. Just excited to see a full scoreboard that we get to potentially go after. And I know Paul's going to be all over that scoreboard tomorrow during the broadcast, so can't wait. All right, and I'm sure you can't wait for our next guest. Bullard is going to come and chat with me for a little bit. We got coach, we got players. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing what the Knights are up to and what they're looking forward to with this season. So they're going to join me next here on Behind the Bench. Stay with us. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back on 1430 ESPN.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey!
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And we're going to have a really good time here with this next guest here, which is going to be the members of the Bullard football team, who is joining me now, ready for their week one matchup. We're calling it week one. I don't know why people, some people argue week zero, some people argue week one. It's week one, folks. We got Coach Lewis Franklin here, Tyler Franklin, and Donovan Atterbury as well, who is joining us on the show. Guys, appreciate you taking the time in your busy week schedule, getting ready for the first game of the year, but glad to be talking some Bullard Night Football here. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's a pleasure and it's an honor. Thank you for doing what you guys do for the Central Valley athletes. I know we all appreciate it, and we love the positive spin and just highlighting these great athletes that are here.
Absolutely, and you guys poised for what I think is going to be a really good season, a really exciting season for this Bullard side, and I know you guys probably have that feeling as well. And, you know, talking about just getting ready for this season, tell me about the energy a little bit, right, going into a season like this. I know a lot of returning guys to this team. I'll start with you, Coach. What's the energy like leading up to, obviously, tomorrow night?
Yeah, the energy's been great. I mean, it started in November, unfortunately, you know, a loss on the road to eventual some state champions. We didn't know it at the time, but we knew that was a good team. And we just knew we had more work to do. And it really started that next week. These kids were hungry. They attacked, you know, all off season, all winter, all spring, with Coach Hulse and the Strength and Conditioning Center. And you know, they're ready to see their dividends pay off. So they're more than excited for Friday night's start again.
Absolutely, and I gotta talk to the players too, because you guys, I'm sure, are just champing at the bit as far as the season is concerned, getting ready to go after it tomorrow. We'll start with Tyler here. You know, from a player's perspective, what has the energy been like when you guys are in those practices and getting ready for a season like this?
I think definitely a lot of excitement, because we know how good we can be with our talent, and then we obviously play a really good schedule. We have a lot of games that will not only be competitive, but will be fun games. Like, I think playing Clovis East, that's fun, playing teams like that, playing in La Monica and stuff like that. It's my senior year, so I'm looking forward to it. Definitely just a lot of excitement around the team for sure.
Donovan, you echo that same sentiment from Tyler, you know, the way things have kind of gone with this group and how things have kind of built up to this season. How do you feel about the lead up to it?
I think our group is very positive in what we're doing in this offseason, and I think we're ready to take on Clovis East with a full head of steam. So I think we're very going in positive for this season.
Absolutely. A lot of positives, right? And Coach, you know, the confidence, right? These guys feel confident, feel ready. You know, why is the positivity there with this group? Is it about the returners, or is it just about the reps they feel like they're putting in?
I think it just started getting to know kids. You know, we've been with them for about 18 months now. I'd say it probably starts when we go to Lake Tahoe football camp. These kids get closer. They get to chase bears or get chased by bears, and we get to compete against a lot of great high school teams. So we've had a lot of opportunities during the summer just to kind of go against some of the top-level competition in California, you know, Oak Ridge, and there's a lot of other great teams that come to camp. And, you know, that's kind of been the focus. It's like, if we're going to play a tougher schedule than we inherited, you know, we have big goals, and we want to make sure that we're doing what, you know, a lot of these teams aspire to do, is win a section championship, win state championships. So you can't do that hiding with an inferior schedule. So we wanted to add as many as the big boys on the schedule as we could. And, you know, we know this is it's not a sprint. It's going to be a marathon with this schedule. And, you know, it's going to get us better prepared to compete in our tough league.
I mean, just to name a few, Clovis East, Clovis, Bakersfield, you know, mm-hmm. Hoover's no, nothing to shy at as well, Mayfair. Mm-hmm. You guys opened three straight road games, too.
Yeah.
You know, which I know Clovis East and Hoover, they're local, but, you know, sometimes in a different building it feels a little mm-hmm. different. But you mentioned the tough schedule. Is that something you imparted on this class and this group? You're like, I want this for these guys. And how'd you come to the decision on that?
For sure. I think a lot of our kids at Bullard are underdogs, right? You know, and they're used to that role. And it's like, we want to play anyone, anywhere, anytime. And these guys, like Tyler was saying, we look forward to these packed houses. We know La Monica is going to be packed. We know our fans pack it at home games. I think there's just no better, you know, sports environment on Friday nights in the Central Valley. And let's play some of those top teams that will bring the same type of energy and make us play our best if we want to win a game that Friday night.
Donovan, does it fire you up that Coach trusts you guys to be able to have this schedule in front of you, to understand that you guys are capable of being able to handle it if you guys put in the work? Does it fire you up as a player?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Knowing that he trusts us with the schedule and knowing we're going to give it our all and put our whatever we have on the field, I take that hard because I know he trusts me going out there.
Donovan, people want to hear you, and I think just make sure you guys get the mic just a little bit closer for y'all. I just want to make sure people are getting you there. But, yeah, great answer there. Tyler, you know, as far as that's concerned, this is what it leads up to, especially, right? Both of you seniors, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So going into senior season, you want to make it count, right? And there's a lot of different psychology coming to a year like this. So, Tyler, what is it like? Does it feel different senior year, or do you try to push that aside as best you can to say it's just another season?
I mean, yeah, as much as my senior year, it just feels like another year playing football. Same as, like, my freshman year, sophomore year. I'm going out there every day practicing, trying my best. It's always meant a lot to me. It's not like it means more now. It's meant a lot since eighth grade, freshman year. So I wouldn't say it's too much different. Just same mindset, same mentality to go compete and try and win.
For sure. Donovan, same thing. Do you try to push that away, or is there a little bit of, like, that creeping in sometimes of that senior year feel?
It has its moments sometimes, I'll say that. But, yeah, I'll try to push it away as much as I can, knowing I'm a senior year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I try to push it away.
And coach, in the same vein, right, because this senior class, this is a class you've been building to, right, with this group, and there's a lot of contributors to it. How much I feel like coaches like the kids maybe sometimes to embrace it because you only get that senior year once. But on the flip side, how do you approach that for the guys in the senior season?
Just try to remind these kids that we have some freshmen on the team that are going to contribute tomorrow night. And it's like, hey, this is our last time playing with these seniors. You know, yes, you have three more years, but it's your last time playing with Donovan Atterbury's, Don Brach, Cade Branch, all these guys, Tyler Franklin. So let's enjoy it and let's make sure we have no regrets.
Yeah. Tell me about the anatomy of this team, right? Because they're I mentioned it a few times. I alluded to it. A lot of returners I've heard about this group, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what excites you about the makeup of it and what things are kind of aligning and what you can do with this football team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for us what we're most excited about is last year we went from one of the weaker programs I've ever ran in my 20-plus years, you know, and these guys embraced that challenge and rose to the occasion. And now they're ready. I mean, as we did in our scrimmage against Central, we're ready. You know, these kids are stronger. They're ready to compete. And kind of the anatomy of it is everyone's just going to do their 1/11th, do their job that night, and, you know, make sure we communicate and make sure that, you know, our biggest opponent right now is ourselves, and we're just kind of been focusing on the process of getting better, you know, with what we're doing.
Yeah. So, obviously, you guys set up for the schedule – or set up for the scrimmage when you had Central last week, and, you know, the scrimmage is what it is. But do you try to simulate as much of the game week as possible prepping for that Central? Like, all right, this is what it's going to feel like when we want to get in this rhythm of setting it up. Obviously, I think class started – maybe a day or two ago for this week. So it gets a little different when homework and all that stuff is introduced. But how much was that just trying to feel like, okay, this is a game week. We prepared for Central East. We need to play a game at the end of the week. How much did that look like it for you? I'll start with Tyler there.
Yeah, it was basically the same. I think our coaches did a good job of preparing us for that, whether it be the practice before, getting a walkthrough, getting all our warm-ups and that type of thing set. So we know what to expect on Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no – nothing new. We know what to expect, so we're comfortable with it, and we're ready. So, I think they did a good job of preparing us for that.
And, Donovan, same question to you. Just trying to simulate that feel and know what it takes to prep for a game. how important is it to take advantage of that opportunity, knowing now you guys have gone through the process of where it matters for real tomorrow night?
I think our coaches did a very good job simulating that game to practice scenario, and I think we're gonna transition very good into our game day. So,
yeah, Coach, what did you see in the prep work and from the scrimmage itself with Central? I know Central obviously probably could team the scrimmage against, knowing what you got in front of you. But what did you like about, or what stood out to you most about your team and the way they prepped and played in that game?
Yeah, I thought we had just one of the most spirited practices all week. I think it was kind of probably getting a little bit tired of hitting each other, but it was also a high-level competition and taking care of each other. You know, we did a great job with that, and I thought that carried over, you know, against Central. When we played good, we did really good things, and when we made our mistakes that were fixable, you know, when we watched film, Central did a good job of penalizing us for those mistakes, and that's what we expect Clovis East to do.
Yeah.
You know, if we do what we're supposed to do, we know we're going to have success. If we kind of lose focus and, you know, kind of get away from the plan, we know they're capable at any point of making us pay for a mistake.
Coach Lewis Franklin, Tyler Franklin, and Donovan Atterbury here for Bullard High School football with us here on 1430 ESPN. You mentioned the opponent that's in front of you tomorrow night at LaMonica. You did mention, right, push back to 7:30.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
It's 7 o'clock right now on Max Prep, so that'll probably switch. So little PSA for the folks who are listening, 7:30 tomorrow at LaMonica. You faced them last year. I know what Clovis East was last year and what they were capable of, and I know that game got away from you guys a little bit, but how much do you take anything from that game? I know they had have a few guys back from that game, but how much do you fuel that a little bit from the game last year and use it into this game?
Yeah, we didn't actually play them. We played Clovis High.
That's right.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
thank you for correcting Clovis.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, Clovis East, yeah, we know their head coach. Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator at Garza. And, you know, we're familiar with the two coordinators he brought over from Sunnyside. So we've been kind of doing our film study on what they've done, obviously what Coach Petrasan's done. So anytime you play a Clovis Unified school, you know, you got to come ready physically to play a full 48 minutes. Mm-hmm. And last year, like when we played Clovis, I don't think we were in it mentally or physically.
Yeah.
And they made us pay. So now we want to see, you know, the program's growth and development to make sure that, you know, not only are we playing Clovis this year, but we added Clovis East, and we'll keep adding more.
So, yeah, playing that track-capable teams, it can feel like that sometimes when you get into a game like that. And so knowing what Clovis East was capable of, and you guys are prepped for it, some different pieces, obviously, to this team, but there's a couple of big names that are still on this group. The running back, I know, the corner you're probably going to be trying to beat from the air raid as well. But, Tyler, what is it like looking at what you've seen from the Clovis East side and the way this team is shaping up going into this game tomorrow?
Yeah, I definitely feel good with what we have, but they're definitely very talented with their running back and corner. Like you said, those are great players. They got multiple college offers. One of them's committed, so like they're good players. There's a reason they have those offers. They're talented. I think our guys are talented too. And,
yeah.
I think it'll be a fun matchup. I think it's a good matchup. Nothing too scary, but I'm just looking forward to it. Can't wait for the game. Wish we could play right now.
I know you guys are wanting to go, and obviously you're going to the JV game right after you told me this. So you're even going to get a little taste of it as well. Maybe those JV guys fire it up a little bit if they come out flying. Donovan, you know, as the prep goes for this Clovis East squad, we knew what they were capable of last year. How do you prepare for a team like this that is, you know, it's just going to be an interesting matchup per se. And what stands out about what they have on their team?
Their defense, it definitely stands out on what they do. And our offensive line, our whole offense is ready for that. And I think it's going to be a challenge, but I feel like we're going to over-pursue that. So.
For sure. Coach, you brought in a couple of these guys, obviously, to talk. I know you probably wanted the whole team here, if you could, to talk about this season. We only have so many headsets. Apologies. But, you know, tell me a little bit about these guys who are with us here today, maybe as a representatives of this team and what they provide. We can start with Donovan here and what Donovan provides for your program here.
He's one of our most skilled players we have. You know, he kind of embodies what we want in the trenches. He's emotional. He's fiery. It's important to him. He's passionate. And for him, you know, what we love is just trying to control it and keep him teetering that line. You know, I know it's a big week for him. Happens to be his birthday tomorrow, so he's extra fired up.
Happy birthday.
And, you know, I think I think the world of him and the whole group. I think Donovan and the linemen and the D-line, when they came out of that central scrimmage, like, wow, coach, our practices really have gotten us prepared for those games. They didn't feel like they were not overwhelmed in that moment. And I think that's kudos to all the guys that play in the trenches for us. So that's awesome.
Donovan, you mentioned fiery, passionate. You're cool, calm, and collected right now. But how crazy do you get on the football field?
I can admit I do get pretty excited for a game. Yeah. And it just means a lot, so I just try to show it.
Yeah, yeah. Is it more to show your teammates, like, hey, this is a big play for us and what I can do, or you know, what is it like? Or is it just a release of, like, when you're in the middle of the play and you just kind of release in that sense or anything like that? What is it for?
I try to turn my teammates up, make sure they're fired up too as much as me, so we can all be on one level and one accord.
And then Tyler, I got a question. Does the offense kind of peek and see when he makes a big play, like what he's doing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There'll be plays where you got to watch out for him. But it's always fun and entertaining for me to see, because I love seeing that from my O-linemen, seeing how hard they're playing, how hard they're working to protect me. That encourages me. Like, they're going this hard, so I got to go even harder.
Absolutely. Speaking of Tyler, coach, you know, I know he's obviously a big part of your life. Yep. And his senior year being in the quarterback position for him, him as the football player, you know, tell me what it's been rewarding to just be able to coach him, obviously, from, you know, throughout you, from what you've seen from where he started to where he is now.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of always grown up around the game, so I don't think he really had a choice. We tried to push him into other sports, but he naturally found football. We tried to convince him not to play quarterback, but he obviously loved it more. So for us, he's been like an extension of the coaching staff. A lot of the things we asked, you know, the kids asked this question, like, just go ask Tyler, you know, and it's been great. I think he's a great leader for our team, and that's what we really like to see. And he's mentoring. We got a young, talented freshman quarterback coming in, and he told me, he's like, I want to be just like Tyler. I was like, that's awesome. That's great to hear. You know, as a father, then you're going like, all right, I'm doing some things right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just nice to see the kids kind of accept him because he came in late. Donovan's crew, the seniors have been together forever. You know, they all played together at Tenaya. So kudos to them to, you know, have him kind of be a part of their family. So that's been fun. And then just kind of seeing the growth and development of the team with him, it's been awesome. I think, you know, we're a much more solid team this year, and we're ready to kind of get after it.
Tyler, you mentioned you just being stubborn about wanting to be quarterback. I know fighting for that opportunity, you know, what kept you being persistent about that and knowing that was a spot you wanted to be in and a spot you felt like you deserved with how much you worked on that side? Or just take me through that that mentality of wanting that quarterback job.
I've just always loved it. Loved the what's the word? Just like the expectations and the your teammates put on you. I like that. I like embracing that challenge of the quarterback position and having the ball in your hands. It's like, they rely on you. I like that. I find joy in that, and it just makes me love it even more. I love the game, love competing, I love winning. So it's like,
yeah,
it's all expectations of the quarterback is you got to do your stuff to win the game. So I think I just embrace it and find joy in that.
For sure. Donovan, coach mentioned Tyler's kind of like extension of the coaching staff, feels like you have a coach on the field. You know, take me through that when you can trust the guy so much that what he says kind of is something that you guys take hold of, especially on the football field.
Yeah, we lean on him most of the time because we know he got it, and we trust him in what he's saying, and whatever he says, we go by it. So it's basically another coach on the field. So it's like you got us, so we know we doing.
For sure. I'm going to put you guys in the spot. Who's somebody should know about on this roster that's not here right now that people should know about on this Bullard roster? I'll start with Tyler.
I think for tomorrow night, it's Jaden King. So he'll be a junior playing edge and tight end for us. He picked an offer up from Southern Miss over the summer. So that shows he's elite talent. That's an FBS school out in Mississippi. And I think he's very talented, and sky's the limit for him. And I think he could have a huge game tomorrow. And just looking forward to seeing him play throughout this year And throughout his football career, I think he'll be a great football player.
Good target for you. Good big target, tight end. Always good to have a rely on there. Donovan, who's a guy people should know about on this Buller roster?
Another one for Tyler is Tyron Pree, wide receiver, DB. So, yeah, look out for him.
Okay, I will. I will, because we got a game with you guys here in a little bit. Coach, I know you could probably go down the whole roster if you wanted to. And maybe I'll limit to three guys if you got time, because I know we only got so much time in this segment. But
right.
who are some people that people should watch out for, especially if they're going to go to the game tomorrow night and be like, okay, that's an eye-popping player. That's a guy who's been making a lot of progress this summer and is putting in the work to represent the Bullard Knights well.
That's a great question. It's going to be hard with just three.
I know.
You guys correct me if I miss one, but I'd say probably Tomas Dixon. He's a junior. He's an offer to Northern Arizona. He's a sub-1100 kid, so he's going to be a big-time football player for years to come. Also, kind of in the middle, a new guy. We had a transfer come, James Franklin McIntyre, the fourth transfer from Buchanan. He's an inside linebacker, so I'm excited to see how physical he is. He brings a real physical presence to us, while Tomas is bringing like the explosive playmaking experience. And you know, on the D line, it's a two-headed monster of a sophomore, Zaire Wingfield, and then Fernando Avila. Those guys are just nasty in there. So we're gonna lean on those guys, because as you said, they have a talented quarterback, talented running back, and kind of relying on kind of all those guys we mentioned to really kind of make an impact in the game for us to be able to win it.
We're excited to see what this team's capable of, obviously, and where it can kind of go for this season. And, you know, what is – you know, obviously the expectation is to win and win at all, you know. But, you know, outside of it, you know, is there team goals outside of the winning the whole thing aspect of it that you've put in this group that you want to see out of this group this season?
Yeah, we really talk about just trusting the process. And the process starts, you know, with expectations of – how we show up to a meeting, you know, where we sit in a classroom this week, you know, how we present ourselves in the community. You know, it's following the cell phone policy from our principal, Mr. Tarigian. It's just being good humans. And we really believe that process leads us to success, you know, on Friday nights or our two Thursday night games this year too. We just really want to make sure we go 1-0 each week, because we know with the schedule we have, you know, there is some flexibility for us to face some adversity in preseason, and we'll be rewarded for that, you know, that challenging schedule by hopefully, you know, we want to get a home playoff game this year, and we want to make sure that we only, you know, we play more than one playoff game this year.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? We're going to have to, you know, try our best, and, you know, we're going to go out there and try to go 1-0 against Clovis East, and, you know, that should put us in a great position for things later to come in the season.
I'll ask this final question to the two of these guys here, the players, Tyler and Donovan. Maybe start with Donovan. Do you have a feeling of what it's going to feel like sitting up tomorrow again? Do you know what the energy is going to be like, or is it just something that's going to come to you tomorrow night?
Usually it just comes during that moment, and that whatever I feel that moment, I know it's going to be exciting for people to watch me and for me to watch myself on film and evaluate myself. So,
Tyler, when do you feel like you're going to feel it tomorrow as far as the season? Is it going to be warm-ups? Is it putting on the helmet for the first time? What's it going to when do you think it's going to kick in?
I feel like it's already hit me. Tuesday, I've already been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it all week. We've been waiting all off-season for this, and it's just been the countdown, waiting. So I think I'm definitely ready for it. And then it's like, even I was talking to him earlier, it's like my very first high school game I played at La Monica Stadium.
There you go.
So, yeah, excited for it. And, yeah, once the helmet puts on, definitely be ready, excited once those nerves hit. And I feel like it's once they play the national anthem, I think that's when it really sets in. That's probably my favorite part, is once the national anthem
there
hits,
you
that's when it really hits you.
I know it's gonna be tough to sleep tonight.
That's what I was gonna say. This is always the hardest night to go to sleep of the year.
It's gonna be like Christmas tomorrow, I bet. And hopefully you guys come out with a nice gift of a win to get things going against, I would say, a very, very good Clovis East program and off and running for the Bullard program. Guys, very thrilled to have you here, and I appreciate you taking the time to get ready for the season. Week one tomorrow. Some games starting tonight. Like I said, their JV game happening tonight, so it'll be good to pay attention to that. And a little reminder, we're going to have you guys week four, I want to say, when you host Bakersfield, which I guess that's the home opener for the year.
That will be our home opener.
So
yes.
Home opener, Bullard home opener on ESPN 1430. Myself, Paul Effler, Pat Hill on the call. I believe at McLean, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, McLean. stadium. So what better way to get that on the air than that? And we'll look forward to it. So, guys, appreciate it taking the time on the show. Best of luck tomorrow. Stay healthy and have fun this season.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Bullard High School here on 1430 ESPN. Take a quick break. We'll be right back on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Bullard High School football for joining us in the previous segment. Great insight on the Bullard High School team, who is getting set to start their season tomorrow against Clovis East at LaMonica Stadium. I think I misspoke in the last segment. Want to clarify myself. It's going to be on the broadcast, myself, Paul Metters, and Pat Hill. Paul Metters is on the call, not what I said earlier. So, yes, Phil Benatti, Paul Metters, Pat Hill. Big thanks to Jorge for clarifying that for me. So, just want to be clear. That is going to be the call in the game of Bullard versus Bakersfield in Week 4. So, there you go. All right. Jorge, keeping me sharp here in a shorter version of this show. And there you go. All right, what do we got coming up? Speaking of Jorge and his wonderful scheduling, what do we got coming up tomorrow and through the weekend? The A's, who already played today, they wrapped up with a sweep, I believe, of the Twins. So a good sweep for the A's. They get us going with a series tomorrow. They're going to take on the Mariners. That's going to be a 7:05 first pitch tomorrow on 790. On 790 at 6 p.m., it'll be a pregame of A's-Mariners there with a 6:35 first pitch. And then Sunday, it'll be A's-Mariners 1:05 first pitch, all on 790. That's what's coming up this weekend there. On 1430, a lot of things happening. We'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour come back with Tony D. He's back after a day off today. He'll be back tomorrow with his edition of his show going from 2 to 3. We'll have my show going from 3 to 5 tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. tomorrow. We will be then out at Le Collegian for Inglewood and Central East. So because of the Friday Night Lights broadcast, we will not be broadcasting Giants baseball tomorrow from Milwaukee. We will have Giants baseball Saturday and Sunday against the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee as the Giants take on, I think, theoretically, the best team in baseball, at least by record. Brewers, Giants, 3:40 pregame with a 4:10 first pitch on Saturday. Sunday, it'll be 11:10 pregame with an 11:40 a.m. first pitch on Sunday, Giants and Brewers. So that's what we got for you there. So that is the weekend schedule. Also, a reminder, Central Valley Sports Report, Paul Metters on the hosting duties there, 10 a.m. to noon. He will recap all the action that we saw on Friday night from high school football. That'll be a 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. runtime live from First String Sports. So there you go. Did I miss anything, Jorge?
No, that's about it. Yeah.
Can I say, am I allowed to reveal some stuff on the FPU side, or should I save that for another day? Seems like we have it on the schedule, right? Or should I reveal it now? Or should I save it?
Go ahead.
I can go ahead? All right. FPU Sunbird Sports Show is returning next Wednesday. Is returning next Wednesday on 790, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Paul Metters will be hosting that as well. So there you go, FPU Sunbird Sports Show, Wednesday, 6 p.m. to 7. And that will go pretty much the whole year, right? Well, as long as I know we're going. So I know for sure we'll have a show this Wednesday and beyond. So we'll have that for sure. So Paul Metters on the hosting duties there for that as well. So there you go. That's what we got. Jorge, what are you watching tonight? Are you watching any preseason football? I see the Patriots are playing on Amazon tonight. Are you going to be checking that out? Or what are you going to be doing tonight in the world of sports or television?
Yeah, I'm going to be checking that out. Yesterday I was watching a bunch of soccer because the League's Cup was finishing up. You know, the semifinals are up, and old MLS teams won, so it's going to be an all MLS semifinals.
All MLS?
Yeah. I believe it's Inter Miami, LA Galaxy, Seattle Sounders, and I'm missing a third team, but they're all in there. It's going to be a good semifinals, good matchups. I'm hoping the, you know, my Galaxy wins, but
are the Galaxy better, or are they just still the worst team in the league?
They're the second worst team in the league, but they're in the semifinals here, so maybe we could win something.
Baby steps, Jorge.
Well, the thing is, our best player, you know, had the knee injury last year. That's why we still don't have him. So, yeah, but I don't know. Okay. We got beat last week in the MLS, and then this week they won yesterday 2-0. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
Patriots currently playing the Giants. It's 14-0. I don't care. It's the third stringers. Doesn't matter to me.
So keep telling yourself that.
Well, you know. Hey, it's the other Reds. It's the other Boston-New York matchup to start tonight. That's why I'm wearing the Boston hat today. If you watch on the stream, I got the Red Sox on here. Tied at 2 right now with the New York Yankees. I'm not saying my emotions are totally tied to the series. It's actually completely tied to this series. It's 4-game set against the Yankees in New York. So we'll see how this turns out in terms of that. Other scores from baseball today. Houston currently leading 7-1 over Baltimore. I don't know what's relevant. Dodgers 9-5 over the Rockies. There you go. And by the way, Tour Championship, Russell Henley shooting a 9-under today to have the stroke lead. And guess who? Scottie Scheffler, the dude, in second place right now at 7-under. Some other interesting names. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa hanging around in terms of contention. So good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll go till 5, and then we got Friday Night Lights. So we'll see you then. Jorge, appreciate it as always. Good show from you. Thanks as always.
Great show.
Great show. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock. See you then.